When I'm not right with them, I don't want to at all. So, I have a helpful God to get me right with him again. I spent the beginning of this week not at all right with him, and pretty well in agony, pretty much, over everything, even over my own soul. But I thank God for the message that Pastor Hain preached on Wednesday night. That was very helpful for me. You know, I thought it's good to have some people praise God. I'm not sure that God would let me preach tonight if people didn't do that, if we didn't offer that sacrifice of praise. And so I'm thankful, and I believe that God will perhaps indeed let me. And Brother Ronnie, would you pray for me that God would let me preach?
Our Father in heaven, God, it's a good thing to be here tonight. But I'm going to ask you now to put your hand covering over Brother Stephen. You would give him liberty, God. I pray that you would have a liberty here, to move in and out, amongst and around. Lord, I pray that you would keep the enemy about on the outside. Give us clear thoughts. Let us hear what we have to hear. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Now my thoughts are scattered, and I don't have a plan. I kind of do. But I think we'll start in John chapter 1. I thought I'd maybe have some time to look at some stuff, but I'm working in Buffalo, so I didn't really have time, except for 30 minutes when I got home. John chapter 1 says, in verse 1, John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So, in this person who is the Word, who is Jesus Christ, who is the Creator, who is God, we can see through this passage that declares all of that through John chapter 1. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. It's a brightness for men. It's what men see by. They see by the very life of God. And you know what? I know another thing about Jesus Christ. When he committed his spirit back unto the Father, that spirit departed from him and his body died. And the life of God was no longer in that body. You know what? And another time, in John chapter 6, as he was speaking to these people, he was saying things that they had a lot of trouble understanding. And then they just didn't believe him because they just couldn't see how that could be so. And he said in there, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. So I just like to declare that the Spirit of God is life.
Amen.
And you know what? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. In another place it said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He's none of his. So, who has life? They that have the Spirit of Christ, where God takes his life, the very life that gives him life. It's the light of God. It's his spirit, and he gives that to people. Gives it to them, and they have life. But I'm going to look at another passage here, and you might think this is insane where I'm going all over the place, but Ezekiel chapter 1. We'll just see how it turns out in the end. You know what I would hope we would see? I hope that God can teach us about his holiness a little bit.
Yeah.
About this thing that we can't quite wrap our minds around, and maybe you can, I can't. But I do know that God has helped me to a little bit here and there. And those times where God does give me a glimpse and I just see it just a little bit more, it is beyond glorious to me. And I had a little bit of that just in the 30 minutes before I came out here.
Amen.
It says, Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Kibar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw the visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Kibar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it." Talking about, here's this great thing that he's seeing, a fire enfolding it, and brightness was about it. And I'll tell you another thing that I know about God, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
Amen.
And God's just faithful to put verses in my head, but it says, "And the brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a cast foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass, and they had hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not. When they went everyone straight forward." And I'm just asking you tonight to try to stay with what God has given me now, that you'd stay with what I'm talking about as we go into this. We're talking about cherubims that Ezekiel has had. He's seeing a vision, and he is describing these cherubims. And do you think that God put it in his word in vain, that he spake these things for some strange purpose beyond our comprehension? I have no doubt he put it here for our edification, for our help. Said in verse 10, he said, "As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. They four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one that were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward, whither the spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps, and went up and down among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning." So he said, speaking of them, he said, he just described how they looked. And you'd think, okay, so that's how they looked. But then he said, "As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals." That's how their appearance was. You know, the Apostle Paul, speaking of the cherubim, he said, "Of which now we cannot speak particularly." And I find it very hard to speak particularly about exactly what they look like, even while reading it. But I know one thing, their likeness was the appearance of burning coals of fire. And there was a wonder to it, a gloriousness, and it was the glory of God. And we're going to see that God was doing something. And I'm going to skip down a little bit and read a little bit farther. Let me try to find where I want to go here. Verse 21. "When those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against him. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, one toward the other. Every one had two which covered on his side, and every one had two which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters. You know, in Revelation, Jesus Christ, when he is speaking, his voice was as the voice of many waters. And you know what? He said one time, you know what men do? They set their heart like the heart of God. They set their thinking like the thinking of God. God speaks as the voice of many waters, and the great whore, she sitteth upon many waters. And he said also in another place, he said, woe unto the nation that make a rushing, like a mighty rushing. They do things like God. God does something, and people imitate it. But God is holy, and people are not. Not without God, they're not. And the like, and under the firmament, let's look down farther. He says, and under the firmament, it says, the voice of speech as the noise of an host when they stood, these let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament which was over their heads when they stood. And they let down their wings, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. So now we see that he was describing these cherubim, but God had a purpose. He's telling you that above upon them there was the likeness of a throne. And he's described all this to say, here is where God is dwelling. Here is where he is. And above the firmament there was over their heads, there was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. And you know what? God dwelleth in the brightness. He dwelleth in the light. Do you remember where that passage is? Dwelling that no man can... Actually, I think it's Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews 1, 3. I think this is it. It says in Hebrews chapter 1... says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory. So Jesus Christ is the brightness of the glory of God. Said, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand on the right hand of the majesty on high. And I was actually looking for another one. 1 Timothy 6.
1 Timothy 6:16.
Okay. But I like that one too. We're going to go back to Ezekiel. But 1 Timothy 6, verse, yeah, that's a good idea. Verse 15, I'll just let other people preach for me. Amen. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. That is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who only hath immortality. You know, I remember another passage where he spake about, now this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So I read here and he said, who only hath immortality. I believe I'm going to put on Jesus Christ. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now he said that no man can see nor has seen, and that gives you an understanding why in Ezekiel chapter 1, why he said, I saw the likeness of a throne, and I saw the likeness of a man. He said in Ezekiel chapter 1, and I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. As the appearance of the bow that is in the sky cloud in the day of rain, he's talking about the rainbow, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. So God is describing, like, what's the point of telling you all this? I don't know. It's pretty wonderful.
Amen.
Said, God is describing to you his glory. He's showing you where that glory dwelleth and what this glory that he's very carefully described for us. And you know what? I remember a passage where God began to speak about coming with the cherubims. You know what? When he rode upon a cherub, and he did fly.
Amen.
He rode upon one. And I think we'll just look at that. Psalm 18. And when the Lord had begun to bring me out of the sorrow of my heart on Thursday, and he put me back in the Word of God, and you know what God did? He began to show me things wonderful that I knew not. Wonderful that I didn't know. Psalm 18 says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. That is the faith of Jesus Christ. Said, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. But verse 4, this is where he spake it too. He said, the sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. He's in hell, and he sank in deep mire, according to Psalm 69, and floods of ungodly men are about him. They're all about him. His feet are falling, but there are men all about him, and God is describing it as floods. Yes, also in Revelation, speaking of that great whore that is upon many waters, he describes to you and tells you that the many waters that she is upon are nations and kingdoms and peoples and languages. They're peoples. They're people. And he said, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. I'm not saying I understand every time when the Word of God says floods and every time it says waters, which time it's talking about peoples and which time it's talking about actual water. But I know it sometimes it's talking about peoples. It said, the sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. So God, who is Jesus Christ,
amen.
This person, the Lord, he's in hell. You know what, Randy? We talked about this last night. It was so good I want to do it again.
Amen.
And he's in hell. And ungodly men are compassing him about. And he cannot get out because the snares of death have prevented him. He's in hell, and by his own power, he cannot get out. Why? He's given up his life. The spirit that was his life is gone. It's gone. It's not with him. He said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. You know what? I want to look at another passage before we go on. Song of Solomon, chapter 8. And this is really where I began to see some things. And it was the joy, and it was the rejoicing of my heart. And may God help you tonight to see some of these things that are very simple, yet very wonderful. In Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6, it says, I'll give you a second, I can hear people turning. Do you know I'm preaching reality?
Fine. That's good.
This isn't a cool story I came up with. It's not.
That's right.
This is reality I'm preaching about.
Amen. Amen.
Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6 says, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. You know, I didn't know much about love until I heard about God's love.
Amen.
You know what? I think if God were to describe love, he'd probably be describing his love. So let's look at this in the light that God is describing his love. And God said that of his love is strong as death. So that death is not stronger than the love of God. God's love is strong as death. And you know what? He said another place, his name is jealous. And he's jealous. And you know what? When Jesus Christ was gone and departed from him, he was jealous of that relationship. He wanted him back. He wanted him back. And it says, jealousy is cruel as the grave. You know what? And then it has a colon. It says, the coals thereof. The coals of what? This love. The coals of this love are coals of fire, which hath the most vehement flame. You know what verse 7 said? Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Yea, though the floods of ungodly men compass him about, it cannot drown the love of God. The love of God will triumph over this. Many, though the floods, you know what? He said also, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He could not be holden by that. For the love of God, the brightness that was before him, coals of fire were kindled. And you know what? He drew him out of many waters. Many waters could not quench it. He said, Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contemned. It would utterly be contemned.
That's right.
You cannot give anything for the love of God. There is nothing that you have that's going to equal the price that God values on his own love. You cannot come with a price to compare up to it. It would utterly be contemned. There is nothing that you can ever do, Caleb, to earn the love of God. He just loves you. You know what? What he's done for Jesus Christ, let's just keep going. Let's just see how God will let me preach it. He said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations, also the hills, moved and were shaken because he was wroth. We're talking here in Psalm 18. This is Jesus Christ. This is God the Father in heaven. And he's heard the cry of his son, Jesus Christ. He's heard the cry of the only begotten Son of God crying out to him in the flames of hell and saying, Lord, save me. You know what? He's heard that. And now he's wroth. Why? Because his jealousy is cruel as the grave. And his love, strong as death. He said, then there went up a smoke out of his nostrils, fire out of his mouth devoured. Look at that. Coals were kindled by it. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. God made darkness his secret place, pavilions round about him. So that he's coming down, that man cannot see him coming, but he's coming to deliver his son. Why? For the great love wherewith he loved his son.
Amen.
For the exceeding great love. I'm talking, this is a message about the love of God.
Hallelujah.
I'm not, who cares about some kind of cool and fancy feeling about love? I'm describing to you exactly how God described his love and what he did about it and how his love acted. He said, he bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. You know what? The appearance of those cherubim, their appearance was as coals of fire. That's how their appearance was. Why? It's the love of God coming upon these cherubim. It's the love of God. He said, he made darkness his secret place, his pavilion. Round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. Those waters cannot quench the love of God. He's described that to you. There's nothing that's going to. Said, at the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen. The foundations were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. Song of Solomon chapter 8, in that verse, he said, many waters cannot quench it. You know what? God wasn't just making some flippant statement. He's telling you, many waters can't quench it. I'm going to go right through them. I'm going to go right through them. The floods can't quench it. The floods can't drown it. You know what? I'm going to take them right from among the ungodly and take them right out.
Amen.
Taking them right up, right from among the ungodly. You can't stop the love of God. You know, there's many a lost person, myself included, that's gotten to a place of bitterness before God. And you just don't want his things to work.
Right.
You wish it wouldn't.
Right.
You know what? God's going to win.
Amen.
God's going to win. And what he said, it will come to pass. Everything that he said will come to pass. He's going to do what he said he was going to do. And those deliverances that he's promised, he's indeed going to do them. Said, then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the Lord of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. What's that? That enemy. You know, I think he described one last enemy, and he said it was death.
Yep.
That enemy. He delivered me from my strong enemy. Why? Because love is strong as death. Love is strong as death. And let's look at Romans chapter 5, I think. You know what? I'm going to jump back to Habakkuk 2. And then I'm going to go still there. If I can find Habakkuk. I'm just going to read a couple of verses in Habakkuk 2. Or just one verse. Habakkuk 2:4 says, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. God has described for us that the soul of man that is lifted up is not. What did he say exactly? It's not upright in him. The soul of man that is lifted up is not upright within him. But what is? What is just? What is right? He said, but the just shall live by his faith. See, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's my life is hid with Christ in God. The deliverance, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what I live in. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Grace, the faith of the Son of God is the faith that you'd stand in. You'll not stand in your own thoughts, but you'll stand in the faith of God. I thank God that when I cast all despair upon God, and when I cast all my thoughts upon God, he just brings me back to what did he say? What did he say? And I stand in what Jesus Christ believes. Hallelujah. I'll just believe it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5. I did that just because of how Romans chapter 5 starts. It says, therefore, being justified by faith. Justified by faith? Well, yes, he said the just shall live by faith. And the Apostle Paul is breaking that down for you, saying they're going to live by faith, but in fact, they were justified by the faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The same glory of God that rode upon a cherub and did fly and delivered his own son from the flames of hell. I rejoice in hope of that same glory of God delivering me also. How? In the person of Jesus Christ, because I put myself in him. It says in verse 1, it said, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him. Verse 3 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. You know what? I do not glory in tribulation. I hope to God that I do. I'm just being honest with you. I just don't. It says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, what kind of a love is that? Well, he described it in Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. He described the love of God. He described it. And you know what? He's going to describe it just a little bit more right now. He says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. God didn't die for the goody two shoes. God died for the ungodly. That's who he died for. Randy, it's not your good things that commend you to God, but in fact, you're commended to God by your wickedness.
Right.
Good. You need God. And we know that he was man. Verse isn't going to come to me, but it's about him taking away sin. Said, For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us. This is God showing his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he died for us in the condition in which we were sinners. And God's trying to make you to understand his love. You know what? I think we need to look at Psalm 69. God is trying to show you his love. How did God show his love? Well, when Jesus Christ was in the flames of hell, and he had been made an offering for sin, and in fact, he had been made sin. He'd been made sin. God delivered him. Hallelujah. He delivered that one. Psalm 69, verse 1 says, save me, O God, for the waters are come and unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. He's describing a condition in which there is no hope. There is no hope. He's coming to deep waters and the flood's overflowing. But God says that his love is greater than that. There is no condition whereby you can get so low where God's love cannot overcome it. God's love can save you, except that you die lost. God's love can overcome it. I believe very strongly that God's love can overcome it. Randy, if God saved his own son, he can save you.
Amen.
Said, they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mightier than I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. How? You know what? Speaking of Jesus Christ, God made him to be the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You know, we just take those sins to God and give them to Jesus Christ and thanks, take care of them. You know what? And they became his sins. And they were his. And then he was confessing them because they were his sins. And my sin became his sin. And he was made that for me. And in that condition, God saw him. In that condition, God heard his voice.
Amen.
In that condition, God saw him and heard him. Romans, you know what? Romans chapter 5, I think. Verse 9. Romans chapter 5, verse 9 says, much more then, being now justified by his blood. And you can know about that justification by his blood by Romans chapter 3, verses 22 and on, as God talks about his faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. But he said, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. So, as an enemy of God, God was reconciled to me when his son died. God was reconciled. But what was he waiting on? He was waiting on me to be reconciled to God. So God is waiting for me to come to a condition where I agree with him. He's already made a way, but he's just waiting for me. He's waiting for me. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest.
Amen.
The call of the gospel is to come. Is to come. Why? Because God has reconciled you to himself. Randy? God has reconciled you to himself. That's what he's done. What? How can that be? That's what it says. I'll just read it again. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 17, it says, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So God has reconciled himself to us, and he's given to us, he's given to the person that will speak the word of God, the ministry of reconciliation, to reconcile people.
Right.
To reconcile them to God.
Amen. Amen.
He said, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. God's reconciled to you. He said, we pray you. And you know what? I'm saying it in just a form of bold speech, but he is begging you to be reconciled to God. He's begging you to be reconciled to God. How? I'd start by believing it.
Amen.
You know what? If you have a lot of trouble believing some of these things that I've said tonight, you know it'd be good if you thought, that's not right. Different things. It'd be good if you just looked into that and saw if, in fact, I did say the truth.
Right.
It'd be good if you did that. And I think that's probably all about it.
Close in a word of prayer. Close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you that we get to hear about the love of God and how it was as strong as death, and your jealousy was cruel as the grave. God, I thank you for that word of God. God, I'm so glad that I got to come back in the house of God and hear from your word. God, thank you for allowing this to happen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen.